The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, Matt, here we are. We are here this evening to ordain you. That is, we are going to do a holy practice that has been done generation upon generation upon generation, back to the earliest times of the church. Through prayer and through the laying on of hands. And you are going to be set apart. Set apart for a very special purpose. So that this good news of God might go forth for the hope and the healing of all of God's creation. And you are surrounded here by some wonderful people. It's a wonderful turnout here tonight. Great to see so many clergy here for this service this evening. And what a marvelous choir. The hosts of heaven are applauding, I am sure. And most importantly, Matt, surrounding you, beginning with the person seated next to you and those behind you, are your family and your friends and all of those people from congregations here and throughout Wisconsin and the church who have accompanied you through days of discernment and study and preparation. And it seems like only yesterday when you and I met, I think for the first time, at the Fund for Leaders banquet in Chicago. I've got that picture somewhere of you and me standing together on that day. So, God has been good, and here we are today. You've come to the end of one journey, that of study and candidacy and all that was a part of that process of discernment. But you're really starting out on another journey, a journey of pastoral ministry. It will be an adventurous time. I can assure you that pastoral ministry is not a right, it is a privilege. It is a privilege that is given through the call of God and confirmed in that call, not, you know, you feel it both internally, but it's also confirmed externally by the church. It is a very spiritual, deeply felt call. But it's also one that is built upon those words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, that while we are called to be stewards of the mysteries of God, it is really built on trustworthiness. Trustworthiness in these bonds of caring for the people whom you are called to serve in the congregations that called you and to the whole church. But trustworthy is also to this good news of God, to the gospel itself, so that we know who we are and what it is that we are called to be about. And so, as we gather here this evening, Jesus has a word for you. And the word comes through very clearly. Jesus says, "Follow me." He has other words that he says also, words like, "Now's the time. The time has been fulfilled. The good news of God is among us. God's reign has begun. Repent, believe this good news of God, trust in God, and follow me." These words of Mark, it must be said, are often read in the church during the season of Advent. You know, Advent is that season of the church year that's just filled with hope and expectation. But it's also a season of the church year that gives voice to the deep longings of people. People from exile cry out for their deliverance that they might go home. People in suffering cry out for relief that they might know hope and healing in their lives. People who are in the midst of death and darkness cry out for the promise of life and light eternal. And so, the first reading for today, I don't know how these lessons were chosen, but this first reading, like a good wine that pairs so well with the entree before us, it fits so well with today's gospel reading. Because this writer from whom we know as Isaiah says, how beautiful is the one on the mountain whose feet bring this good news of God. How beautiful when a world that is crying out for some sign of God's presence. How beautiful when people are longing for a word of hope and healing and a promised future. How beautiful when broken people are welcomed with grace and love. How beautiful when this good news of God is proclaimed in our midst. And Matt, you have been called, and we are here tonight to set you apart for this ministry. That we who in the church have good news for all the people who live around our communities of faith, whether they know it or not. We who have hope and healing for the world because of God's promise in Christ, you, Matt, have been called to tend to this good news in the midst of the church. Not just for your own edification, not just for your own spiritual life and well-being, but you are called so that those whom you serve might be built up in the faith. That the good news of God is proclaimed, that it is taught, that we study God's word, that we know who we are and what God has called us to be about, that we baptize so that we might enter into these waters of the font and die daily to that old life and rise anew to this promised life of God. That people, as they come to the table, might know that in the bread and the wine that you feed them from this holy meal, that God Himself is touching our souls with the bread of life that forgives sins and touches the deepest hungers that dwell within our very persons. All that you are called to be about is for the building up of our life together, that beyond the walls of the church, we might be a witness to all the world of God's love for all. And so that we live together in a covenant with one another, and so that we liturgically make promises about all the things that we are about in this tradition of the church, we're going to ask you some questions. As we are in this rite of ordination, we will ask, first of all, whether you believe that the call you have received, this call of the church, is indeed God's call. That is, we're going to ask you whether you believe that in all of this discernment process, in all the conversations you've had, in all those studies of the seminary, when you might have been going, what am I doing here and will I ever make it? In all that wonderful time when you were in Oakland and in camps discerning where God might be leading you, even in those initial interviews and all the paperwork of the candidacy process, and finally, in this call from First Lutheran Church in St. James, Minnesota. Anybody here from that neck of the woods? Thought somebody was. There we are over there. It is to wonder if you, Matt, believe that the church's call is God's call. This is important. Because as these people seated to my left know so very well, we all go through moments when we wonder about our own worthiness or our giftedness or if we have what it takes to be faithful to those promises that we make. The times come when we ask, who am I to be proclaiming these words? Who am I to be saying such things? Who am I to pronounce clean and whole these who are broken and bruised? And there will come those times, and I speak here very personally, when you might find yourself saying, God, you got me into this, now you got to see me through this. And you can lean on those promises that you have been called to serve. And then the church asks, will you preach and teach in accordance to the Holy Scriptures and to those creeds and confessions, those three great ecumenical creeds, Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian, but also those that are particular to our Lutheran tradition, the Augsburg Confession and Luther's Large and Small Catechism, just to name a couple of them. These are not fences around which that are built around us that are meant to keep us closed in and pure and untainted by the world around us or by life around us. But they are like markers down the center of the channel of a river, are like markers in the wilderness that we travel to help us find the way, especially to know the one who is the way and the truth and the life. These creeds and confessions are meant so that as we read the Holy Scriptures, we keep the good news central. This good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, this love that is steadfast and holds on to us and does not let go. This love that wraps us in the grace of God and calls us simply to believe that we are, that by the promise of God, we are God's beloved children. We like to say, this is the true treasure of the church, this gospel. We are but clay vessels that hold this true treasure. But you are called to proclaim this and to help us all be held accountable one to another, that in fresh and invigorating and renewed ways, this word is always proclaimed in our midst in the church. And then we'll ask, will you be diligent yourself in your study of the Scriptures, in your use of the means of grace? Will you pray for God's people, lead them by your own example and holy living? And what I want to say is, you can't care for other people if you're not caring for yourself. And you cannot offer spiritual life to others on an ongoing basis if you do not tend to your own spiritual life. It's hard to offer the spiritual life of the cross if you yourself have not knelt before it and been crucified and died in those waters of baptism as you nurture your own life. It is as we tend to our life, our spiritual life, our family life, that we are able to give and to receive comfort one to another, as you will promise in this, in the ordination rite. In every generation, pastoral ministry has had its burdens. But especially in these days, when the culture around us has changed so dramatically from 2 and 3 generations ago, we have new challenges before us, big challenges. There are wonderful signs of hope in our midst. You yourself being one of those signs, and in all of our congregations, there are signs of the movement of the Spirit and of God's renewing life among us. But pastoral ministry these days is leading people on an adventure. And if anyone's really been on an adventure before, an adventure does not mean that you sail along on an even path with, you know, no difficulties along the way. If there's any excitement, that means there are ups and downs. There are joys and there are sorrows. There are troubling times and there are anxious times. And sometimes you will only have a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But you have this promise that as we tend to the shepherd, to the sheep of the fold, to the flock to which you have been charged, that God takes what gifts are there and satisfies the deepest of hungers and provides all that is needed for our ministry. Matt, the call to ordain ministry comes by the Spirit of God. It comes with challenges, but you can be assured of this. God who calls you gives you everything that you need. It may not always be apparent, but God gives you what you need, and God's grace is sufficient. The call does not come without the cross. Joy in ministry is not present without suffering and conflict. The exhilaration of life in Jesus does not come without sorrow and the grief of dying to many things. But we have the promise of God's faithfulness. Finally, the question is asked, will you give faithful witness in all that you do so that God's love may be known? That God's love may be known. That God's love may be known, not just among us, not just in our Bible study group, not just among us on Sunday mornings, but that God's love might be known to the ends of the earth, to the neighbors right out the walls of the church, to the suffering, to the poor. We live in days in which there is such harsh judgment and criticism in our culture towards one another. We live in days of such polarizing political attitudes. We are called to be people who listen deeply, who calm anxious hearts, who speak the truth in love, who advocate for the immigrants and the refugees. Thank you for designating some of the offering to Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. We are called to be about God's mission. So often our tendency is to have our own agenda, a congregation's own agenda, or a pastor's own agenda. But the role of the pastor these days, working in partnership with lay leaders, is to be discerning of where the Spirit of God is leading and how we might see signs of God's mission at work among us and in the world around us. As you lead and serve the congregations in Minnesota and wherever God may lead you, and as you serve within the whole of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, you are called to be about our faithful participation in God's reconciling mission in the world in Jesus Christ. And finally, we have this promise. You have it, we all have it. That God, who has given you the will to do these things, who has given you the will to answer the call, will also give you the strength and the compassion to perform them. And that's a promise that you can count on. God bless you richly in your pastoral ministry. Amen.